All right, welcome to this special April Fool's Day episode of the TGIF podcast. My name is Steven. That over there is Travis.
That was a killer opening song there, Steve.
Yeah, an anonymous contributor on that one. Not sure who it came from.
Thank you, Anonymous. We appreciate it.
Yep, and we're a TGIF podcast. We normally come out on Fridays, but this is a special episode as TGIF back in 1991 decided to do some April Fool's episodes on actual April 1st. So we are doing the same. We're doing an episode on April 1st, and these are the episodes that aired on TGIF back then.
I dug around real hard to try to find some like promos or anything from this day. It was a Monday, and we talked about this a little bit last week, because remember the baby talk said special episode on Monday. Yeah. So they kind of teed it up a little bit, but I couldn't find anything, and it really made me mad. I was really hoping there'd be some good like April Fool's promos for like bumpers in between shows, you know, but nothing.
We're going to talk about it. The Full House episode's kind of like April Fool's-ish, prankish kind
You know, I didn't even make the connection, but you're not far off.
But that's it. That's all, though. Nothing else.
You're right.
I mean, Baby Talk in general might be a big, giant April Fool's joke.
You're thinking that's like a running, just like a long con gag?
Could be. We do like to look at what was going on 30 years ago today, and a few things. They were talking about moving Stonehenge. I don't know if you heard about that. The heel stone at Stonehenge got out of sync with the sun because of the Earth's rotation slowing down. So they were talking about moving the entire Stonehenge somewhere else where it would be back in sync, I guess.
I think they do something similar for like leap year too, where they have to account for the extra day, or and also daylight savings, where they have to adjust for the hour.
So it gets moved a lot.
I think so. I think it's common.
The Democrats were going to nominate George Bush as their front runner candidate for president.
I mean, why not just take both parties?
As well.
Can't lose.
And then
except you did.
Oh, there was another good one too. There was like a scientist that figured out how to combine chimpanzee DNA and chicken DNA, and they had created this new animal. I think it was called the chickpanzee.
That sounds cool. We're reading. We just got that chicken pig book for my kid. Have you seen that book before?
I don't know what you're talking about. No idea.
It's a book that basically combines animals. It says who lives at the farm, and it ends up being a chicken and a pig, but it's combined into a chicken pig. And there's like a wiener dog lion and some other stuff. I read it for the first time last night, so I don't have it committed to memory yet. But
and since we're not going to talk about movies and music, we'll do that on tomorrow's episode. This is a music headline too. Mother Teresa and Two Live Crew were teaming up for a spiritual album back then in '91.
Both legends in their field. Makes sense.
Yep, so we'll do movies and music on tomorrow's episode. Like we said, this is just a pop-up episode. So we'll get into these three episodes that aired back in 1991 on April 1st. First, it's Full House Season 4, Episode 24. The name of the episode is Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Does start off
that's
with, it starts off with a cute Michelle clip. Jesse's playing the drums. Michelle says, hey, that's not too bad. Why don't you go play the piano? He goes to the piano. He's awesome at the piano. And then she's like, now go play the saxophone. And then he's real bad at the saxophone.
Do you think Joey's real good at the saxophone?
Is that Joey's saxophone, you think?
Well, I don't know. But, I mean, they have a saxophone. And obviously, Jesse isn't any good at it. So you would think somebody plays it, right? Maybe Becky is a sax player.
Yeah, I don't know. But she covers her ears, runs out of the room, and then that's your cute Michelle clip for the week.
That's not the punchline, Steve.
What punchline?
The punchline is that Michelle says,
oh, you need,
well, it looks like you
lesson?
Need more practice. Yeah, even though he just played all the other instruments great, he just isn't good at the sax. And she said, you need practice.
It was cute. All right, so then we go after the theme. We've got Becky. She's painting DJ's toenails, and I guess DJ might have painted hers at the same time or something. And they're talking about how long it takes for them to get ready and just like joking around about girls taking longer. And then they're talking about like Jesse taking a long time to do his hair. And then Kimmy comes over. And I guess DJ remembers that she has to go somewhere, I think. And then Becky's like, oh, I've got a solution for your, since your nails are not done. And she gets the blow dryer and starts blow drying DJ's nails. Like it's the first time she had ever thought about doing this or something. She's like, Becky, this is so smart. You're a genius.
It's top secret, man.
And then Kimmy comes in and she says, oh, man, you must have really hairy feet, thinking they're drying the hair on DJ's feet. And
Demi.
We find out, too, at this point, Kimmy and DJ have a plan.
They have a secret plan. And they don't... Kimmy doesn't want Becky to know what their secret plan is.
Yeah, but DJ's like, it's all right. It's all right. We are good friends now. We paint each other's nails. We can tell Becky anything. She's not going to tell my dad.
She's one of us.
This is where you find out the plan. Kimmy is babysitting. She's going to have DJ come over after she puts the kids to bed. And then they've got two boys coming over. Ryan, who DJ has a crush on, and a special guest, someone that Ryan is going to bring for Kimmy, another boy.
And Kimmy is super excited for this other boy.
Here too, Becky thinks that Danny should know about all this. She's like, I don't know about these boys coming over. I think your dad should know about this. But DJ like kind of guilt trips her, and Becky eventually promises that she's not going to tell Danny about it.
Yeah, this is the classic, are you my friend? Are you an adult authority figure?
So Jesse comes in at this point too. They make some more jokes about his hair and getting ready, and then we find out that he is looking for Joey.
Yes.
We go downstairs. Stephanie's in the kitchen, and this is where I was talking about, like, it's kind of April Fool's-ish.
Yeah,
kind
yeah.
Of.
It makes sense. It makes sense.
Michelle keeps playing all these pranks. She runs in and says, Stephanie, Comet's having puppies. And then Stephanie runs out, and she's like, wait a minute, Comet's a boy. He can't have puppies. And then Michelle's like, ha ha, I fooled you. And this is where Stephanie tries to tell Michelle it's not a good idea to fool people. And she tries to tell her like the story of like the girl that cried wolf. And right. It's no use. Michelle's not having it. She loves these pranks and she's going to keep doing them.
Michelle does not understand the moral of that story.
No, nor does she care at all.
Not at all.
We go down to the basement. Joey got a pool table. You might as well.
He rented a pool table, which I guess that's a thing, renting a pool table as opposed to buying one.
Yeah, he says he rented it to enhance creativity. Whenever they are working on something, they can't think of anything, they'll just play some pool, and then maybe some ideas will come to him.
He's ahead of his time, because, I mean, every company now has, like, a ping pong table or a foosball table or something.
Yeah, so they start playing pool a little bit, and then Danny wants to play. Jesse's making fun of Danny, like, there's no way this guy can play pool, and, like, just kind of teasing him and stuff like that. And Michelle calls for her dad, who's down in the basement at this point.
Yes, she calls him up into the kitchen.
Yep, so he goes up there. She says there's a mouse over there. He's like, how could there be a mouse? There's not a single crumb in this house. And then we find out it's another joke. Michelle, ha ha, I fooled you. And then Danny's like, this is not nice. We have to fix this.
They're not even funny, though. It's not even a good...
I mean,
it's just
they're
like,
2-3-year-old jokes. This is...
That's fair. I feel like she's just saying, like, go into that room for no reason. Gotcha.
Come up here and stop doing what you were doing.
For no reason. Gotcha.
All right, so DJ and Kimmy come down at this point, too. DJ tells her dad that she's going to go over to Kimmy's to study while she's babysitting, that kind of thing. And Danny's like, no, you can't do that. You've got a big test coming up. You need to study, and you need to do it in your room where you're focused.
That is correct. And then DJ puts Becky in the middle.
Yeah. Cause
and then Danny also puts Becky in the middle.
Yeah, so DJ is what, like, Becky, aren't you going to side with me? And Danny's like, it's just a mess for Becky.
Becky is not in good shape right now.
So DJ, I think Danny, like, is kind of set, like, all right, you're studying. He kind of walks away. DJ's like, hey, Becky. I just need 10 minutes. I've got to go tell Ryan in person what's going on. I know dad doesn't want me to, but I'm going to go over there, talk to him. I need you to cover for me if anything happens, and then I'll be back and we'll have no issues.
I would say that sounds reasonable, but it really doesn't.
But yeah, eventually Becky agrees, but she doesn't really want to, but she does agree to do this.
I would say Becky comes around pretty quickly to DJ. I don't think it took very much for her to get there.
Yeah, but you can obviously tell that it's not something she wants to do.
Right.
So then we go right over to this sitter job, and this is the same house they use anytime Kimmy babysits, it seems like. No matter what family
it is
lives
the same
there.
House. Yes, and I think this is actually supposed to be... I guess it's not supposed to be Kimmy's house. It's the kid's house, but you're right. It's the same house.
So the kid comes down. It's Aaron, who's from Pet Sematary, and also...
Your favorite.
Michelle's classroom. And Ryan shows up at the door. He's got a guy for Kimmy. Just turns out to be Bitterman, so she's not really
Did you recognize Ryan? Did you recognize Ryan?
I didn't recognize. Who was Ryan?
Ryan's Rodney from Family Matters.
Oh, is it? No, I didn't even connect it. Yep. So Aaron comes down. He calls them out for having boys over. They end up bribing him, telling him that he can go watch Arachnophobia, which was a favorite movie of mine at this point, too.
It's a good movie. It's a really good movie.
Aaron agrees. He goes to his parents' room to watch that. And then Ryan kind of tries to put the moves on real quick. Like, hey, DJ, we should go get some alone time and go study in the other room.
He knows what he wants.
Yep. And DJ, I think, I don't know how she said it, but she's like, oh, I don't need to go home. I'll stay for a little bit, like pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. She immediately is like, I'm staying. I'm not going home.
So then we go back to the house. We're back in the basement. Jesse and Joey are finishing up a game of pool. And then Danny wants to play. And I don't think we knew this before, but Danny is a pool hustler. He is able to talk Jesse into playing for $2 a ball, which is up from what he actually wanted to do, and ends up schooling him. Like, they're playing, and he's just making every single shot, ends up winning $100 from Jesse.
Yeah, he takes him for $100. And what I read when I was doing the research is that
he's actually good at pool.
Yeah, well, I don't know why his name is just like Bob Saget. It just went out of my head. But anyways, Bob Saget is definitely a hustler.
Yeah,
and can play.
A lot of it looked like he was shooting at all these shots, but then there were a couple shots where like they had his head cropped out, and then I'm like, maybe they got another pro player in for some of these.
What I read said that he shot all his own shots.
All of those?
But I agree. There were some that were, I mean, but again, it said that he was a really good pool player.
Yeah, so. I mean, some of those shots that were good shots, he was obviously shooting for sure. And you could tell he knew what he was doing. Yeah. But he wins all this money. Joey knew that he was good the whole time. He pays Joey $10 for just not saying anything the whole time. And then Jesse,
because they went to college together, so of course he knows that he's good at pool.
And then Jesse is trying to just win anything he can against Danny. So he's like, let's play darts, double or nothing. High dart wins or something. Jesse throws a dart, hits a 20. Danny throws a dart, hits a bullseye. So he's doubled up his money there. Then he's like, let's spin on that chair over there, and whoever can spin the most in 10 seconds will win. And then like the scene just kind of ends. Danny's like, we just need to end this right now. You don't need to win. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Stop. Stop, Jesse. Stop.
So then Stephanie brings Michelle downstairs.
You're right.
Were they downstairs?
Yeah. No, they come downstairs into the kitchen. Obviously we're upstairs because Stephanie is going to give Michelle some Rocky Road ice cream.
Yep. And Michelle's like, oh, it's my favorite flavor. I go crazy when I eat Rocky Road ice cream. And then they go open the freezer and she's like, oh no, there's no more ice cream. And she's like all sad. And he's like, ha ha, I got you, Michelle. Look in the cookie jar. Here's the ice cream. Might be worse than Michelle's prank.
There's a lot of things wrong with this prank. And the fact that Michelle still gets the Rocky Road ice cream, and it's probably half melted by now. Like, you're just taking ice cream out of the freezer and putting it in a cookie jar.
She's like, I had to teach you a lesson, Michelle. I just had to. So,
but this ultimately is just another reason for the Olsen twins to
eat some sweets.
Eat sweets on the show.
So Danny comes up from the basement. Becky comes into the kitchen, tries to stall Danny, tries to like get him so he doesn't go up to DJ's room because he's going to go check on her, wants to talk to her about how he acted and how she did all this stuff. And Becky's like, Danny, I got to tell you what's going on. DJ left the house. She went to Kimmy's house. And he's like, what? And then as this is going on, you see DJ in the window backstairs. Michelle points her out. Danny cuts her off, runs into the living room, and DJ tries to pretend like she was just like coming downstairs or something.
If only.
And he catches her. DJ's upset because she knows that Becky ratted her out, and she runs upstairs all sad and then saying like, I thought you were my friends. And then Becky asks if she can go talk to DJ before Danny goes up there and talks to her.
And so she goes up and they have the woman to woman, heart to heart. And Becky kind of explains the role of friend versus figure.
Yep. They apologize to each other for everything wrong that they did. And then they talk about Ryan and how cute he is. And then that's the end of the episode.
That's it.
That's it.
I feel like there wasn't a lot of heart to heart in this one. I feel like the kind of the lesson was glossed over.
Yeah. Not a whole lot.
I don't know. Not a whole lot.
All right, Family Matters, Season 2, Episode 23. The name of the episode is Skip to My Lou, L-I-E-U, like Lieutenant. Starts off, Urkel comes over. Laura is telling him that she doesn't have any time for him. She's meeting Maxine. They're going to go to the mall. And he's like, don't worry, I'm here for Eddie. And Urkel, while he's waiting for Eddie, grabs a flower out of the vase off the table and is just like picking petals and throwing them like, she loves me, she loves me, she loves me, and just picking off.
The good line, though, from Laura here, though, is, man, I wasted a perfectly good excuse and you weren't even here to see me. That's the quality line from Laura.
We do find out the reason why Urkel is there, though, is he needs a favor from Eddie. Eddie apparently has the hookup for an ID bracelet, and Urkel wants to buy an ID bracelet for Laura.
What is an ID bracelet for? What is the purpose of that?
I have no idea. I mean, it looks like it's just a bracelet that you'd put your name on. Like, it just, like, here's
and he
my
put,
name.
I can't remember. Did he put his name on it or her name on it?
I think both. I think it was, like, to Laura from Steve or something like that.
I don't get it.
Anyways, the whole thing is Urkel's got this plan. Step one, ID bracelet. Step two, proposal. Step three, wedding. Step four, wedding night. And then he faints.
He can't handle it.
Yep.
I'm surprised he got that far.
So we go to the theme. We come back. Carl is out on the couch watching some sports.
Watching the Bulls.
Doorbell. Carl calls for Harriet's to get the door, right? Because he doesn't want to get up and stop watching sports.
Correct.
She's like, get it yourself. He gets up. It's Lieutenant Murtaugh. We find out that Jordan's playing. He has this like career great shot at the end of the game that he ends up missing because of Lieutenant Murtaugh. But Lieutenant Murtaugh's there to talk about a promotion, I guess, right?
Yeah, so he's heard a rumor that Lieutenant is going to be promoted to captain.
Which they've been talking about for a few episodes.
More or less, yeah. And then Carl is going to be promoted to Lieutenant. Which sounds, so basically Lieutenant's going to have to do a name change to captain.
Yeah.
Then we're going to have to remember that.
But I don't even know if that's the whole reason why he came over there or not. Like, is that the reason he came over, or was the reason he came over?
No, I think that was the reason. Okay. I do. I think that he came over to talk about that whole promotion thing.
I feel like they've been talking about it for four episodes, but either way.
Well, they've also been talking about Rachel for a couple episodes now, too.
Yep. While this is going on, Rachel comes home. She's asking Carl if he saw the great Michael Jordan shot. Of course, he missed it because of Lieutenant Murtaugh.
Don't worry, there'll be more, Carl. You'll get to see them all.
Yep. And did they not even have instant replay back then? I guess not, right?
I don't know. They had to have. I can't imagine that they didn't. I mean, maybe not instant, but at the end of the game.
Like going into the commercial break or something?
Yeah, they had to have. I don't remember.
Sports Center back then, right?
Yeah, I mean, I remember watching basketball back in the 90s, and it's not something that, I don't know.
If you missed it right then, you would never see it again?
Yeah.
Anyways, once again, we are reminded that Lieutenant Murtaugh has the hots for Rachel, and that's kind of what's getting set up here.
And this was established originally last episode, last time we saw a Family Matters episode.
It seems like every episode, but we skip a little later. The women of the house are in the kitchen. Carl comes in. He's like fake laughing, like something's going on. And we find out he tells them that Murtaugh likes Rachel, and that he wants to go out on a date with her. And Harriet and Estelle are like all about it. They're like, yeah, go do it.
Well, you need to flesh that out a little bit more, because he wants her to go on a date. So Carl wants, because
it might
Rachel
help him out with
the
promotion, right?
Yeah. And then Harriet and Estelle are like,
yeah,
do it. It was. I was shocked. I was like, wait a second. The other women are totally like, yeah, go on that date so Carl can get that promotion. Don't worry about it.
Of course, Rachel's hesitant about the whole thing, but eventually she does agree to it. She says she's going to go on a date with him, and she says it's going to be a favor to Carl doing it.
This was just weird to me.
It was weird. So skip ahead. We're at Rachel's place now. Urkel is buffing the floor with one of those like giant like plug-in floor buffer things. It goes out of control. He knocks over a bunch of people and a bunch of stuff. Of course, we get a "Did I do that?" in there. And then Eddie and Waldo come over to talk to Steve about that ID bracelet, because Eddie's hookup is Waldo.
Yeah, and I'm going to say this is the first time we've really seen Eddie and Waldo together. I know that they're not really pitching him as best friends at this point. They're kind of like a business relationship, but it's still, we're used to seeing Waldo as with, what's the, I can't remember the guy's name right now. Yep. Lorenz Tate's, whatever Lorenz Tate's character's name is.
Yeah, I put a note here too. I was like, this is starting to give Waldo a little more of a role maybe in the show. Like,
yes,
he's talking a lot. This is the most he's talked the entire series so far.
Agreed.
So Urkel takes Waldo over like to a corner of the restaurant to see the ID bracelets. He pulls up one sleeve of his trench coat and it's nothing but watches. And then he's like, oh, it's the other sleeve. And then he pulls up that one. It's all ID bracelets. Urkel picks one out. Waldo, I think, tells him it's $40, right?
Yeah. So yeah, Waldo starts at 40 and ends up negotiating himself down.
He talks himself down. Like Urkel doesn't have to do anything. Waldo's like, oh, how about $15 or something? And like that's what it ends up going for.
Right. I think Urkel came back at first with like 25.
Yeah.
So.
And then Waldo's like, how about 15?
I hope he makes some money off those things.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe they're all stolen goods. Who knows? But anyways. Urkel agrees he's going to buy this bracelet, $15. We're done with that. Then we go back to the Winslow house. We got to give Judy a line in the episode. So we throw her in there real quick saying that she never found Richie. He's been hiding for hide and seek. It's been like an hour. She opens up the closet. There he is. That's the end of Judy for this episode.
And then she runs to hide. And Richie's like, I'm going to let her sweat it for a couple hours.
Rachel comes down. She's dressed all nice for her date. Murtaugh shows up, and instead of like coming up to the door, he like gets on the speaker of the cop car or something and like calls for her from outside of the house.
Puts like the spotlight on.
Yep, she opens the door, spotlight's on her. He ends up like, I don't know if he threw the flowers or what, but
he does.
A bouquet of flowers just launches over to her, and then they leave, or she leaves to go meet Murtaugh very unexcitedly too.
We never see him. I mean, he doesn't even come up to the house. We never see him come up to the house at all.
Nope. We skip ahead a little later that night. Rachel's back from her date. I was thinking that she was probably going to have a great date. And like, that was like the whole thing where it was like,
that's what I thought too.
Everything worked out. It's all good. She likes Murtaugh now, but no, she says she has a headache. She's trying to get rid of him. And she actually flat out tells him she did not have a good time.
She does not hold back here. There's no niceties about the conversation they have at all.
Nope. She just wants him done. She wants him gone. So Laura and Steve, are they getting home from, is that the
they're
same
day? They're in the
day?
Kitchen. I guess so, maybe. I don't know. I didn't really put a time to it, but they're in the kitchen hanging out.
Yeah. They had just gotten home from work. I think they even have their work uniforms on, if I remember right. But Laura's trying to get Urkel to leave, and he gives her the box with the ID bracelet in it. It was all spelled wrong too. Waldo didn't get all the words right on it.
I'm impressed that Waldo has the engraving business going too. He's really like multi. He's putting a lot of feelers out there.
Yep,
multi-channel.
She's like, I can't take this. I don't want this thing. She tells Steve that they are never going to go anywhere. This relationship is never going to be anything. And then she tells him, just go home, Steve. So kind of like the same thing that's going on with Rachel and Murtaugh in the other room is going on with Laura and Steve in the kitchen.
Right. And I also really appreciate, though, that she accepts some culpability here and says, you know, I haven't been doing my part in reminding you that this is never going to happen. I know the last few weeks I've given you maybe some wrong ideas, but by not saying anything, but now I just need to make sure I'm saying more to reiterate that this is never going to happen.
Murtaugh is still in the living room, right?
He won't leave.
Trying to come on to Rachel. Rachel tells him that he repulses her, tells him to go home. She goes upstairs, and then we get this musical number with Lieutenant Murtaugh, which eventually Steve Urkel comes and joins it. I have the audio pulled for it. Do you want to hear the whole 2 minutes or just when Urkel comes in, or what do you want? The whole thing is 2 minutes if we start at the beginning of Murtaugh.
Well, I don't think we need the whole thing.
But it's good. The part with just him is good, too. I don't know.
You make the call. You play it all or play whatever.
I'm just playing it all.
Play the whole thing.
All right.
They tell me that you're leaving. Can't believe it's true.
Because, girl, there's just no living without you. Don't take your love away from me. Don't you leave my heart in misery. Cause if you do, then I'll be blue. Cause breaking up is hard to do. They say that breaking up is all to do. This is the end. Instead of breaking up, I wish that we were making up again.
I beg of you. I'll say goodbye.
Can't we give our love just one more try? Come on, baby. Let's start anew. Cause breaking up is hard to
do. All right, so yeah, it's breaking up is hard. It's hard to do. Neil Sedaka, is that who it is?
Sure.
And it's great. It's such a funny little thing.
It is. It's a good little clip. It
and like, I clip. Love that like Urkel's like voice is like 10 octaves higher than Murtaugh's. And it's just like the two of them singing together. This needs to happen again, I think.
You think it needs to happen again?
Yeah.
We don't want to lose the magic. We don't want to lose the magic.
Lieutenant says he needs a drink. Urkel says he does too. And he knows just the place. So I didn't know what was going on here either, but we end up at Rachel's place.
I knew what was going on here.
They're drinking milkshakes, or root beer floats, I think they end up being.
Root beer floats, yeah.
They're talking about all their women problems. Steve sees why Murtaugh had no luck at all with Rachel. He kind of understands why no one would like him. And Urkel says all he needs is the hope that one day Laura will fall for him and... that's all that anyone needs. They'll keep trying for the woman that they love as long as there's hope that one day maybe this will happen.
I wish the best for Murtaugh.
And that's the end of Family Matters for this week. Going into No Perfect Strangers. We're going to have that on tomorrow's episode. But now we get Baby Talk, Season 1, Episode 5. Give a Sucker an Even Break is the name of the episode.
Yep, this is... There's a couple changes in this episode. A couple... things that are a little bit different.
Yeah, I really
they start to establish.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. So it starts off after the theme song. Fogarty's back. He's got some sandpaper. He folded it in half, and Howard, the other contractor guy, he's all mad because he folded it up. And then there's like this physical kind of comedy joke of like them arguing about the sandpaper. Fogarty ends up like crumbling it up and saying like, oh, you can't find the crease in it now because now it's all crumbled up. And that kind of ends with that. And then they end up calling for Maggie. Maggie comes in. She looks exhausted, by the way. Apparently
she is exhausted.
Yeah. She was up 5 times last night, feeding Mickey throughout the night. And then we also get like the little baby talk jokes of like Mickey talking, saying how, oh, it's just my compliments to the chef. Cause like talking about breastfeeding and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I guess something to note here is that George Clooney this is the first time we're not seeing George Clooney in this far into the episode, right? Normally he's kind of up front.
Usually when the guys are there, all three of them. Are
right. There. So there's no George Clooney and he's not in this episode at all. And there's a really, I think, an oversized kind of role that is at this point given to Fogarty and Howard.
Yeah, but this is like the most they've done the whole series,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we also find out that Mickey is crawling now, and he's picking up and putting anything he can find in his mouth, and Maggie is going to need the contractors to baby-proof for her.
Which seems outside of the scope of what their job is, but...
They just do anything that they need.
Yeah, I agree. But still, I mean... That department's never going to get done at this rate.
We also find out Mickey's got a checkup, which is where we go now to the, this is the first time I've said it, to the Museum West Medical Center. That's the name of the doctor's office.
Okay.
And Maggie and Mickey arrive for their checkup.
There's the funny joke between the two guys where Howard talks about how he had always dreamed of knowing what it was like to breastfeed a child.
Oh, yeah. Weird joke.
It is weird. Fogarty looks at him and says, I'll suckle on you or whatever. I don't know exactly what he says.
Like, just keep it a secret or something.
And offers to nuzzle up and breastfeed on him.
And then like leans over and like on his, in his arms and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny. It's probably the humor that the two of them have between each other kind of thing. But
I guess
either way, they're at the checkup. Maggie ends up falling asleep, standing up like against the door. And Dr. Elliot ends up checking on Maggie. Like, she's the one that really needs this checkup. It's not Mickey.
Checks all her vitals.
Yep. He says that she needs some rest and suggests that this whole breastfeeding thing, maybe it's time to switch Mickey to formula. Maybe that's the problem. Like, you're staying up because he wants this. Switch him to formula. You'll get your rest. And, of course, we hear Mickey's thoughts, where he is very upset that this this change is even being presented to her.
He's going to sue the doctor.
And Maggie's okay with it, though. She thinks maybe this is a good idea.
She does. I'll tell you, from personal experience, when we switched the formula, it was the best thing ever as far as sleeping through the night.
Yeah.
It was the best. So nice.
Back to the apartment. Maggie looks happy now because of the, I guess, what the doctor told her. And the contractors have been baby-proofing everything. She tells them that she's switching to formula, and they don't want her to do it. Howard is the most outspoken about it at this point, saying it's like, oh, this is what a baby needs. It's got all the nutrients and everything, and they just don't want her to do it. And she asks them, well, we're going to try it. The doctor said that Mickey might not want to take it from me, so can one of you feed Mickey?
Again, outside of the scope of what a contractor should be expected to do.
Howard and Fogarty, I think they go into Mickey's room at this point. They try to feed Mickey, but Mickey doesn't want it. And Howard tells him a story, and then they sing
High Hopes,
the two of them together, right? Fogarty and...
They're correct.
Mickey starts crying after this. Maggie runs in. And she goes right back to breastfeeding. Like, all right, got to do this if we can't get him to drink the formula or whatever.
I mean, it's tough, man. It's tough.
Then we go. Maggie has now arrived at this, like, mommy and me parent circle thing. There's five kids there, I think. They're all talking to Mickey.
Mm-hmm. Including Mickey, five, yeah.
He says that he's a lactaholic, and then it's kind of like the kids are all acting like it's like an AA meeting kind of thing, like where Mickey's an alcoholic, but it's for milk, obviously.
Yeah.
And they all try to explain like how they got off the milk or still on it or whatever, like giving their stories. And then the other parents are on the other side of the room with Maggie talking to her about like, you should do it or you shouldn't do it or whatever. And I think the leader of the circle ends up saying that this is a decision that you need to make on your own. Whatever you decide, you can't feel guilty about it. And while she's telling her all this, Maggie has fallen asleep once again now at the parent circle.
That is correct. And just a couple of notes on this. So this like mommies and me group becomes, I don't know how often we're going to see it, but I know at least we're going to see it in the next episode. So it becomes part of the show with the same parents and the same babies. I think it's funny to note that his mommy's a me group and there is one guy there, and he comments on how embarrassed he is that he's the only guy there while his wife is working, which is a very like late early 90s thing to do. But yeah, we're going to see these people again, and I don't know whether that's good or bad.
So we go back to the apartment. Fogarty is checking out all the baby-proofing stuff. He thinks that they're all done. But Howard says they need to do one final inspection, and they need to think and see like a baby. So they get on their hands and knees and like crawl around and check for stuff. And, you know, that's what's going on.
Did you do a lot of baby-proofing at your house?
We threw like the little like outlet plug covers on, like those things.
Yeah, I did that. Sure.
I don't think we put anything on any of the cabinets, though, like latches or anything like that.
Yeah, we didn't either, really. I feel like the outlet covers are pretty low maintenance, low touch kind of thing. You can just put them in there. And we definitely did that, but we didn't really do much else.
Yeah. I can't think of anything else we did.
Does that make us bad parents, or does that just make us like trustworthy of our children?
Are our children still alive? That's all you need to ask. They are. So we're fine.
They are. That's true. Yeah. They are.
We're fine.
Okay. We win.
Maggie's in the kitchen now. She's getting formula ready for Mickey, and she's talking to him, telling him that he needs to drink this formula, and Mickey keeps testing her. They're kind of testing each other, like, I'm not going to drink this. Well, you're going to drink this. I'm the mom. And hours later now, he's still not drinking it. She tells him she's not going to give in. And at this point, too, a little note, he's probably spilled half this bottle all over the top of his high chair.
I didn't even notice those. I've never used a bottle like that before. I wonder how good they are.
A bottle like what? Isn't just a bottle?
No. It was different because it was one of those old ones, obviously, because it's old. But
it has the bag inside.
It had the bag inside. Yeah.
I think it's just for cleaning. I think you can still buy those.
Can you?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But anyways, Maggie's giving in now. She's crying. She's apologizing to Mickey. But Mickey doesn't like seeing his mom cry, so he drinks the formula bottle, and now she's sad, because now she realizes that he does not need her anymore. And he kind of ends the episode saying, I've got a big problem, my mom's nuts, and then that's the end of the episode.
She also gives him a nice big hug, and I think it's a little sweeter than just like her being sad that he doesn't need her anymore. It's also like a bit of a relief that he's growing up.
Yeah, and this is, the first episode where we don't end in a song, too, with her singing?
I think there was one other where we didn't end in a song, okay. But I was definitely expecting the song.
Maybe
the
we're done. Maybe song. We're done with that now.
Yeah, so maybe, I do know that we only see George Clooney one more time in a future episode.
Oh, I thought he was done, so I'm surprised.
No, he comes back on episode 12, which honestly, I'm not sure if that's, on the Friday night lineup or not, or if that was on one of the alternate nights. But anyways, he comes back. So that's a change with them, and then the pushing up Fogarty and Howard, and then we've also got this new parents group, and a little bit of change at the end on how they're going to go out instead of with a song on every episode.
I did look up the guy that's in the parents group, and it said he was only on 3 episodes. So,
so maybe we don't get him for as long as it seems like we might. That guy is annoying. I did not like that character. I didn't like the character at all.
Yeah,
he was just like a neurotic guy, which I get that character, but it just didn't do much for me.
Yeah, well, that's it for this extra bonus episode for April Fools. We will
gotcha.
We will rank them like we normally do. Well, we've got Full House, Family Matters, and Baby Talk. I'll go Baby Talk 3. I'm gonna go Full House 2 and Family Matters 1, just for the song in the middle of Family Matters.
I think that's fair. I don't know. I could really go either way with Family Matters or Full House. I think I really liked the...
You did complain about the lack of heart-to-heart in Full House.
I did, but you know what? I really liked the Danny, Jesse, Joey arc, this the pool table. It was fun.
You want to go
but I think you're right. I think you're right. No. I think I'm going to go. I think I'm going to agree with you, though. Now that we've talked through it, I think I'm going to do the same.
And we've got Waldo's expanded part coming up.
Yeah. I think it's there. I think we'll do... I'll do the same thing. Baby Talk 3, Full House 2,
Family Matters 1. All right.
Yep.
Another episode tomorrow. Make sure you catch it. That'll be at the normal time. That's it.
Yeah, and tomorrow's episode is just, there were two shows that came on the actual Friday, and that was Perfect Strangers, and then another episode of Baby Talk. So that's what we'll be talking about tomorrow.
Woohoo!
All right, man. Anything else, Steve?
Nope, that's it.
All right, have a good April Fool's Day.
Yeah, I will. You got it, dude.
Okay.
TBA podcast.